What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.
First, that news that Operation Transformation was led out of the house behind the shed and then shot. After 17 years, it is not coming back. This despite the fact that it had 357,000 people watching it in its last season, which isn't, you know, you wouldn't shake a stick at it. It comes after a number of medics and nutritionists and so forth wrote an open letter to Kevin Backhurst, as if he didn't have enough on his plate this weather, saying you should get rid of Operation Transformation. One of the signatories to that letter is Dr. Margaret Steele, who's a postdoctoral researcher at the School of Public Health in UCC, and she's with us this morning. Morning, Margaret.
Hi, Anton. Good to talk to you.
What was wrong with Operation Transformation?
Well, I think there are kind of two aspects to it. For anything like this, you can think in terms of the efficacy and the ethics of it. And the efficacy, you know, does it work? And the ethics being, is it worth it? And I think on both counts, there are problems with Operation Transformation. And, you know, it's outlined in the letter that was written by Joanne Moscalu and Sinead Crow and signed by myself and others, as you said. First of all, like, the centre of the show is really a diet and it's calorie restriction. It's presented as being sort of a population level solution to obesity and all kinds of medical problems and long-term health problems. But the fact is that for most people, it isn't. So telling people to eat less and move more doesn't result in any kind of long-term health improvement. And there are also risks to it. So, you know, dieting is associated with the onset of eating disorders. We have seen an increase in eating disorder prevalence in Ireland. So, you know, for us, the harms really outweigh the benefits, insofar as there even were a lot of benefits beyond the individual leaders themselves.
So the harms, it's not just that it is ineffective, it is that it is counterproductive. What harm did it do?
Well, I think the big thing is that it propagates the idea that each of us is individually able to control our weight and lots of aspects of our health. And while there's ways in which that's true, I mean, we know, or, you know, you know you can eat less and move more and you lose weight in a short-term basis. But first of all, that's not really sustainable for most people, which, you know, is seen by the fact that like 80% of people who try this kind of approach won't maintain long-term weight loss and will often end up gaining weight. But it's also, I suppose, the wider context that you're pushing the blame onto individuals for what are really social and cultural factors. So, you know, we've seen a rise in prevalence of obesity and overweight in pretty much every area of the world in the last few decades. And it just doesn't make sense to think that people of all different cultures, all different races, all different genders just suddenly decided a few years ago that they were going to be lazy and greedy in a way that they weren't before. Something has to have changed in the environment, and it has.
But so it is then a bad thing to try to incentivize or to recommend to people that they would control their diets and exercise more?
No, it's not a bad thing at all to recommend it, but it is a bad thing to give them an unrealistic expectation of what they can achieve and then blame them for not achieving that.
And if you have evidence of, which I assume you do in the show, of people taking control of their diets and taking control of the level of exercise that they do, is that blaming them for failure?
Well, I mean, I think we all remember, you know, instances over the years in which people have been blamed for failure, like notoriously Dr. Eva Orsman shouting at a contestant and reducing them to tears for not meeting an arbitrary weight loss goal. So that certainly is shaming people. But it's also a question of contributing to a wider cultural belief and myth, really. I think most of us who signed the letter would say that individuals can choose to change their lifestyles radically if they just make that decision. We just know that isn't true.
So does that mean we are all powerless to our environment?
It doesn't mean we're powerless, but it means that we don't have as much control as we think. There are things that we can control, of course. We can make changes to our diet. People do. People give up smoking. People take up exercise. There are all kinds of positive things we could do. And I think every single person who signed that letter, and it says, you know, it's written in the letter that we strongly support those kind of behaviors. Like, of course, people should be doing these things. Of course, I individually try to do those things in my own life, as I'm sure you and everybody listening does. But the point is that there's just no evidence that that's going to lead to a long-term impact on your weight and not even necessarily your health. You know, it's just...
But I'm intrigued that you would... I mean, I can see questioning whether or not it is efficacious, but going to the extent that says it is counterproductive, that's the bit that intrigues me, that it isn't even worth having on as something where you say, well, look, there's some programming where we get people to talk about fitness and get people to talk about diet, and that, even if it's not particularly effective, it's grand old mood music and it improves the general concern about fitness and health. What you're saying is that it is literally the opposite. Operation Transformation over 17 years has done the opposite of what it was aiming to do.
Absolutely, yeah. I would believe so, yeah. I mean, look, we don't have statistics. I mean, part of the issue here is that we had this, at least partially publicly funded, public diet program going on. So basically a public health intervention in the country, but nobody tracked the results. It wasn't done scientifically, which of course is fine. It's a TV program, right? But that means that we can't say in kind of scientific terms what the impact was, but we can look at the evidence generally for what these kinds of programs tend to lead to. And it does seem to encourage people to hold more stigmatizing beliefs towards individuals of higher weight. It does tend to lead people to feel guilt and shame when they're not able to reproduce the desired results. And long term, that tends to cause people's behavior to get worse. Like, shaming people has been shown to have negative impacts on their health behavior. It doesn't make people feel, right, I'm going to prove them wrong. Like, statistically, the most common response is actually to shut down and think, well, I'm not good enough, I can't control this.
Give voice to what I suspect will be the reaction from some people listening, because obviously you use the phrase, it is just a TV program. To some extent, it's just a TV program, but it was also evidence of, and it was used as evidence of, RTÉ's public service mandate, and it was cross-platform. It was TV, it was radio, there was a whole load of online stuff as well. Like, they put a huge amount of effort and time into this, because ostensibly it was both a successful TV show and a significant public health intervention. That was the way that it was packaged and sold. And what you're saying is that after all of that, and after it being packaged thus, instead of it being a positive public service intervention, it has been a 17-year investment in public health damage.
That's the way I would view it, yeah. And I mean, it also distracts from evidence-based interventions that, we could have had experts on, you could have had people like the signatories to the letter on public television, on cross platforms, explaining, as we have sometimes done, the actual science of obesity, why it's a problem, what the evidence-based solutions are. You could have had public health experts explaining why the World Health Organization suggests certain strategies that actually do have good evidence behind them that could help to improve the health of the population. But instead, we've had, you know, a show that, even though there's been many positive elements, there's been lovely community spirit around it in some cases. You know, some of the leaders are great. They've been lovely to watch. But ultimately, yeah, it is harmful because it's distracting from the real issues and it's not effective and could be harmful.
And is it that the thinking among the medical, nutritional, diet expert community has changed in the 17 years that the program has been on? Or should this have been spotted at the outset?
Well, I think there's people like, Sinead Crowe and Joanne Moscalu, who wrote the letter. They have been talking about this for a very long time. And I think they would be coming at this from an eating disorders background, from a public health and a nursing background and mental health. And they would have seen the impact of dieting and eating disorders. And they would have said from the very start that this was not effective and that this was going to be a disaster. The mainstream medical community, I think, has definitely seen a bit of a shift in recent years. I think part of that is because of emerging knowledge about, you know, the role of the brain in regulating appetite, the role of, you know, basically all our hormonal systems in telling the body literally how hungry we are. Like, not how hungry you feel, but how hungry you actually are. So, you know, we're learning more and more about all the completely involuntary, completely physical, physiological systems that contribute to people's weight and also to their health more generally, because, you know, we know that weight and health aren't as strongly correlated as we might have thought previously. That's another aspect that's becoming clearer and clearer.
Now hang on for a second, Margaret, because there's a lot of text coming in and I want to bring some of them to you. If you just tuned in, we're speaking to Dr. Margaret Steele, who's a postdoctoral researcher in the School of Public Health in UCC and a signatory to that letter that went in recommending that Operation Transformation be yanked, which of course it was yesterday. It's now been cancelled. Not necessarily causative, but definitely coincidental. So there's a couple of texts saying things like, a show that fat shames people to lose weight by making them stand in front of the nation in their bra or skimpy clothing is simply done for entertainment and not for helping people. But although what Margaret is saying is that it is more significant, that it's not just that it doesn't help, that it actively harms. Another, I think the worst thing about Operation Transformation was parading people in swimming togs to show how overweight they are. So a lot in agreement with you on that line, Margaret. But then a lot of people saying things like, my wife lost 4 stone by changing her diet with no walking involved. Can you ask the doctor what she recommends people with weight problems actually do? Another, of course we have control, and if we don't, we can learn to take control. This program worked for thousands of people and got the country moving. Another, I put on 5 stone between 2021. 6 weeks ago, I made a decision to watch what I eat and use my Fitness Pal to go. I go to the gym 3 days a week. I'm mountain biking on Saturday morning. I've lost 7 pounds already since I started my new regime. My gaining weight had nothing to do with my culture. I simply got lazy and stopped caring about what I ate. And another, the country is going mad cancelling shows like Operation Transformation. So, I mean, there's a litany along those lines, Margaret, that are challenging that basic core principle that individual responsibility is not at the heart of this. So can you explain that?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say behaviour is pointless. I mean, one person said, oh, you know, my wife changed her behaviour and lost 4 stone. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, at one stage, I lost 12 stone myself. Like, I spent years doing that. But, like, it's rare, right? It's about 20% of people that manage to do that. Now, that's not nothing, right? That's great for those 20%. And as I said, I'm one of them and it's fantastic. But the other 80%, all you're doing is you're condemning them to a life of misery and shame and their health getting worse and worse if you insist that the only way for them to take control of their health or to have any impact is diet and exercise, when in fact there's other evidence-based solutions like medication, like bariatric surgery, that would be much more appropriate for people with serious and complicated obesity. So not just people who are fat, right? Because you can be fat and it's not a huge issue for your health. But if you are struggling health-wise, then you need evidence-based care. You need to be getting the appropriate medical treatment. I also think that there's a tendency to feel a sense of control because, of course, we all know that you can absolutely change your weight in the short term. You know, we know people do. Diets, we say diets don't work, but of course they do in the short term. And so people think, I did it before, I can do it again. And it's true, but the question is, why do you have to do it again? And the reason that you have to do it again, if you're in that 80% of people who will have to do it again and again and again, is because you're fighting against your body's biology. You know, there is no natural weight loss for mechanism for weight loss other than starvation. The way to lose weight is to find a way of staying in starvation that you can live with. That's the bottom line.
Can I put one potential other counter argument that people might make, which is, whatever about those who find themselves already in a situation where they are struggling with obesity? Is programming like Operation Transformation that promotes fitness and that promotes good diet, is it useful in any way for those who haven't got a problem with obesity? That it gives that sort of background music, a bit like a sort of Ireland's Fittest Families, that fitness, health and good diet is generally important and good for the population?
I think that could be the case, but I think that by tying it to weight, you're actually telling those people, this isn't for you, you don't need to worry about this, which of course is ridiculous because all of us have to engage in healthy behaviours or we're going to suffer the consequences. So I think the way to do that would be a program that focuses on those positive behaviors and why they're so important and the things that we can do. Because, you know, there are things you can do in your own life. We all know you can improve your habits and stuff to a certain extent. But I would also say that we really need to do things like implementing the World Health Organization Best Buy policies, which are low cost to implement, and they've been identified as things that would work. Things like mandatory consistent food labeling. You know, we still don't have that in Ireland. Things like making GP level care access to things like physical activity prescribing. You know, we still haven't implemented all those measures. And those are really easy wins. Like, they've been identified as cheap for governments, cheap for the exchequer, for the taxpayer, and beneficial. So before we start sort of, you know, trying to come up with a replacement for Operation Transformation, I would say let's just do the basic things first that there's no controversy about. They're not impinging on anyone's freedom. They're not taking away anyone's individual responsibility. They're just basics, you know.
Margaret, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Dr. Margaret Steele, who's postdoctoral researcher at the School of Public Health in UCC and a signatory to that open letter to Kevin Backhurst suggesting that Operation Transformation should be removed from our screens, which we discovered that yesterday it was announced that it is. It ain't coming back.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.